All right, happy Monday on the Fan pregame. We only have 30 minutes of pregaming ahead. Two Stanley Cup matchups tonight. We've got Carolina and New York, 7 p.m. on Sportsnet, and then Dallas and Colorado, 9:30 p.m. Jeff Merrick. Merrick Mondays in a few moments.
We're a half hour because the Blue Jays are in Baltimore for a 6:30 start tonight on Sportsnet 1. Barrios, Burns on the mound, respectively. The Blue Jays are kind of limping into this one, though. Yeah. Hurt, sick, not ideal circumstances to go up against the Orioles. We'll touch on that a little bit in best bets.
Yeah, if you're wearing a Blue Jays hat at the stadium tonight, you might be in the lineup. They are that ill and
hurt. Tap on the shoulder. Don't be surprised.
But you won't bat lead off. Doesn't matter. Okay, spicy end to last night's Vancouver-Edmonton playoff game, of course. Just came down the line that Carson Soucy is going to get a one-game suspension for his brutal cross-check to the throat of Connor McDavid. He tried to, you know, use the guillotine? That's kind of
looked guillotine.
Like
I don't know
it.
If that's a guillotine.
Like it looked like. Anyway.
It did some damage.
He has a one-game suspension as reported just a couple, maybe half an hour ago. So is that warranted? Was that enough? Is it because it's McDavid? How do we view that?
Well, you said it was brutal. Brutal cross-check to the face after a game, after the whistle. Like generally, yeah, I'm okay with a one-game suspension. I wonder if Vancouver is okay with, you know, the sanctions that have been levied. Not that they'd want to see Carson Soucy out, but to get a lick on Connor McDavid in the manner that they did, maybe the trade-off's worth it, although it seems Connor McDavid is fine and should be fine. Playoff suspension, obviously, you're not getting fined because you're technically playing for free, and yet Zadorov does get a fine. Mm-hmm. So I don't know which one you'd rather have. Carson Soucy, the competitor, would probably rather be in the lineup and pay $5,000 to be. But yeah, it's getting nasty out there in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And Connor McDavid doesn't shy away from it. Gets himself in the mix.
Well, he gives that slash, right? He kind of pokes the bear
doesn't
in a sense.
Doesn't ask for it, but yes, pokes the bear.
I think
you put it
bear.
That right. But like, yeah, if you're throwing like heavy, heavy, dangerous cross checks to the throat and mouth area of superstars. I'm okay with a one game suspension.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of discussion online of did Connor McDavid fall into the cross check? And, you know, maybe two things can be true. He was a little bit off balance, but that goes right into the face, into the throat of Connor McDavid. So, and this happens at the end of a game, which obviously is important for how this affects moving forward. He's going to sit on game four. And won't be back until game five. And this is a tight series, so this is important. But I think maybe the fact that it was at 0-0 on the buzzer means something different to the league, right? Than it being in the second period. You know, this is at the end of the game.
I'm not really sure. I mean, you see cross checks like this a lot, like between whistles, guys are throwing their sticks around and it's violent in these little scrums. That one maybe went beyond the normal scrum-like behavior, though, and it was after the whistle. I mean, I do go back to Alex Pietrangelo last year in the playoffs against Edmonton, against the Oilers and Leon Draisaitl of the Oilers, excuse me. And yeah, that was just like kind of beyond. And when it goes kind of beyond what we normally see, then that's when it gets up for scrutiny like it did. I think that one was beyond, even if it did happen, or even if it had happened, excuse me, inside the whistle.
Okay, Vancouver and Edmonton, not in action tonight. They'll be having their rest day as they heal up. Tonight is a doubleheader with Carolina, New York, Dallas, and Colorado. And help tee that up with us is Jeff Merrick of the Jeff Merrick Show and 32 Thoughts podcast. Jeff, what'd you make of the one-game suspension for Carson Soucy?
I didn't think it was going to be any more. I was kind of surprised, to be honest with you. I kind of went to bed last night thinking, you know what? We'll wake up in the morning and it'll be two fines. It'll be a Zadorov fine and a Carson Soucy fine. But, I mean, I don't know that it's worth any more. I mean, with the multiplier, I guess it's a two, but I'm fine with it. The main thing here, again, and we saw this, you know, going back to Morgan Riley this year, you know, after a whistle, your liability goes way up. After the game, your liability goes even more way up. So I think that's the message that the league has been trying to enforce here.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's a fair point that it seems like it doesn't really matter if you're hurting someone whenever you hurt them. It probably should factor in. But if those are the rules, then those are the rules. And we saw kind of the rules around goaltender interference again yesterday, too, which we can maybe get into a little later. But let's focus on tonight,
at least
to start here. Rangers and Hurricanes game five. Rangers have a chance to close out. They had the chance to close out over the weekend and did whiff on it, though 8-0 would have been an unbelievable start to the playoffs. 7-1, still brilliant, of course. And again, they can advance tonight. I wonder, though, I've been trying to get my head around what it's all worth, right? Like Washington, you know, wasn't great. And Carolina, when they run into a wall, they run into it spectacularly, and maybe they can get themselves back into this. But I just don't know still how good the Rangers are. This 7-1 start, what does it mean to you? Like, what have you learned about the New York Rangers and how you apply that moving forward, given how good they've been, but maybe how battle-tested they still need to be?
It's a good question. I know, I think we look at the Washington series and say, like, okay, so they beat up on a team that was dash 37 to get into the playoffs. Whoop-de-doo. But I think there is something to be said about a team in the playoffs that takes care of the business they have to take care of. And if you're going to do it, like, the one thing that I always come back to is, I mean, it's very rare that it doesn't happen this way, but if you're planning on going deep in the playoffs, or if you're planning on getting to the Stanley Cup final, you're planning on winning the Stanley Cup, along the way, you need a gimme series. Mm-hmm. And you have to make sure that you have the killer instinct to make sure that if you have a chance to sweep it, you sweep it. And that final game is always the big test, right? You go up 3-0, and let's see if you can close out, what kind of killer instinct you have. I know that Washington didn't really push them at all, and it seemed like even just getting to the playoffs, that was the Stanley Cup for the Washington Capitals. Alexander Ovechkin, I mean, we saw a whole lot of statue practice from the future Hall of Famer, a lot of elevator practice, a lot of standing still from Alexander Ovechkin. Not a real huge pushback here. The difference with Carolina, though, is they've been in every game, you know, and you could even make the argument that, you know, the New York Rangers go up 2-0 early in the series, and you can make the argument, and Rangers fans hate hearing this. Trust me, I get it in my timeline. You could make the argument that Carolina was the better team in those two games, and that the difference here was that Igor Shesterkin was all world. And I know I can hear Kelly Rudy already faintly in the background saying, you shouldn't have to apologize for having a great goaltender. The goaltender is part of your team. Stop saying things like that, Merrick. But I think you can make the argument that outside of the goaltending, Carolina may have been the best team in those two games. But they battled through. They got there. The games have been close. They've been able to completely neutralize Carolina's power play, except for that Brady Shea goal, the eventual game winner on the weekend. So this one, even though it looks like it's a 3-1, could close out here in five games, this one's been a lot closer than the Washington Capitals series. This has been a series where the Rangers have been tested. I mean, they haven't been down. Like, they're not trailing 2-1 or 3-1 and needing to pull a miracle comeback here. But the games, period, shift, they've been a lot better than what we saw against the Washington Capitals.
At around this time, we start looking at the Conn Smythe betting futures and what we might have predicted before the playoffs began and where we're at. Shesterkin's leading the way in terms of odds. Is that how you're viewing it as well, that individual performance that's been able to keep them looking as strong as they are?
There's two that jump out to me. Igor Shesterkin is one, and Alexander Barkov is the other. Those to me are the
Justin
players
just
that have really distinguished themselves. What's that?
Justin just did a little fist bump because he's got both of those as futures.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, as much as the Boston Bruins might be upset about, you know, the 2-2 goal yesterday, to me, if I'm Jim Montgomery, the goal that I'm even more upset about is how you let Alexander Barkov skate right down Main Street the way that they did yesterday in the offensive zone. I mean, the Sam Bennett goal is the Sam Bennett goal, and everyone's taking a whack at that pinata, and rightfully so. I think there's a lot of candies coming out of that pinata. But to me, if I'm Montgomery, the goal that I'm pulling my hair out over is, how do you let that player have that much ice right down the middle of the offensive zone? Listen, Barkov has been phenomenal. Taking nothing away from Shesterkin, he has been tremendous. But what we're seeing from Sasha Barkov here is a player that's you know, distinguishing himself in the postseason, reminding everybody that, yes, he is the new Patrice Bergeron. I always try to make the goofy joke that Barkov is finished for Bergeron. He's going to win the Selke this year. He's going to win the Selke for the next however many years as well. And what we're seeing is Alexander Barkov reminding people how great he is, not just in the regular season, but the playoffs as well.
Yeah,
so those would be the two for me.
Yeah, there's a couple one-on-ones. Like if the Rangers win, it's Shesterkin. Mm-hmm. I think the Panthers win. I think it should be Barkov. I think he's been far and away their best player so far in these playoffs. Yep. And if you're the Leafs video coach, you better supercut those zone entries Barkov has, because he is just effortlessly getting into the Bruins zone in ways that the Maple Leafs could not.
You know what? I'm glad you made that point. Because here's what's so phenomenal about that point to me. Alexander Barkov is not a fast player. Mm. Alexander Barkov does not push the blue line back. Okay? Alexander Barkov is just smarter than everybody else. Like, no one's ever accused him of being Pavel Bure, and they never will. Like, the knock on Barkov, even going back to his draft, super smart player, really highly intelligent, really skilled, bad boots, heavy feet. That's what we've always said and always felt about Alexander Barkov. But he thinks at such an elite level. He moves the puck quickly and efficiently and intelligently. And I'm glad you brought up the point about zone entries, because all we think is, you know, make the drop pass, the ladder play, and attack with speed, push the defense back really fast. That's the way you get the zone entry. I'm with you. Watch Barkov. Mm-hmm. Watch how Barkov does it, because he does not have that burst. He doesn't have that element of speed, yet you're right. He is one of the best at single-handedly getting the zone.
We'll get back to Hurricanes Rangers here, one last one. Carolina is an interesting spot, right? Because I mentioned off the top there, when they hit the wall really hard. I mean, swept by the Panthers last year in the Eastern Conference Final. Looked like it was going to happen again here in the, I guess, Metropolitan Division Final. Is a reckoning coming here for Carolina? Like, you can't win the Corsi Cup every year, right? Or I guess they have been.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, everyone lauds them. They're like, they're the standard, right? They're the team. Well, they may be the standard, but they're becoming a bit of a gatekeeper. Like, if you're elite, you beat them. And if not, then they're going to beat you. But that shouldn't be good enough. Like, are we looking at a change here coming to the Hurricanes? Because they finally went in on rentals, and still to this point, it hasn't been enough.
Yes, you're right. They broke the way that they've always traditionally thought and brought in Jake Guentzel. Never done rentals. That's changed. You know, I really do think that this might be a season, if they bow out here tonight against the Rangers, that we might see some change. Now, I don't necessarily think that means that Rod Brind'Amour is going to be available. But look, how many players are on expiring contracts here? Right? There's Tara Vinen. There's Brett Pesce. There's Brady Shea, there's Freddie Anderson. Like, there's a lot of players here that are on expiring deals, and I don't think that if they bow out against the Rangers here, a second-round exit, that it's a guarantee that these players are coming back. And you're right. Like, they have, you know, they've always sort of prided themselves, along with the New Jersey Devils in some ways, as trying to be, you know, perceived as the smartest team. I mean, listen, Eric Tulsky is part of the brains behind the Carolina Hurricanes. Eric Tulsky is flat out, full stop, one of the smartest people in hockey. He interviewed for the Chicago Blackhawks GM job. He interviewed for the Pittsburgh Penguins general manager job. And I think the common wisdom is one day Eric Tulsky is going to be a general manager in the NHL. So much of what they do is run through him. Highly intelligent, highly capable at what he does. The thing about the Hurricanes here, and you always have to sort of, you know, wonder about the mix, is I don't know that the philosophy of it is wrong at all. Because what Carolina started doing however many years ago, all successful teams do. Like, you don't think the Florida Panthers run it through an analytic filter, Tampa Bay Lightning, Colorado Avalanche, like all of them. Like, they all do it now. Carolina was just one of the first ones that ran all their decisions through that filter. I do think that there will be some type of change. I think that's just natural with all the expiring contracts. But if they do bow out, I wouldn't be surprised if that change is, I don't know, let's say more significant than we otherwise would have imagined.
All right, we'll see if they can hold on to hope tonight. That's a 7 o'clock game, Hurricanes and Rangers. Let's move to the late night edition, Dallas and Colorado. Dallas with the 2-1 series lead. Now, I thought this was an interesting stat. It's like a special teams bonanza between these two. 20 goals in the first three games, and only half of them are at even strength. So, you know, you can't just play your entire series on special teams. So which team is better set up for you, Jeff Merrick, to win a 5-on-5 game?
The Dallas Stars are the deepest team in the playoffs. Full stop. The Colorado Avalanche probably have the best elite level players in this game, whether it's, you know, Nathan MacKinnon or Cale Makar or Miko Rantanen. But as far as like spreading out your depth, as far as like spreading out the quality of your players here, nobody, and that includes the Florida Panthers, nobody in the playoffs has the depth and the ability to just roll lines and even play with your third pairing D like the Dallas Stars do. The only question we had about Dallas going into these playoffs was, which Jake Oettinger are we going to see? Are we going to see the Jake Oettinger that we remember from a few years ago standing on his head against the Calgary Flames? Or are we going to see the Jake Oettinger that almost, you know, at times has single-handedly undone all the good work that the Dallas Stars have put in front of us? I'll go Dallas on this one. The higher-end players, like the top two, three, four players, are on Colorado. But we all know that if you're going to win in the playoffs, generally it's the deepest teams that do so. And when you're talking about five-on-five, no one's as deep as the Dallas Stars are in these playoffs. Nobody.
Chatting with Jeff Merrick of the Jeff Merrick Show and 32 Thoughts. You mentioned earlier, yeah, you got to finish a series quickly. Along the way, one of them has to come relatively easy without much resistance. I think this game tonight for Dallas is potentially like a season-defining moment in the entire year. Because if the playoffs get it done tonight, or if the Stars, get it done tonight, they could get through one of these series efficiently because, yeah, it was knock them down, drag them out in round one. And if they get through Colorado and wait on the knock them down, drag them out, Vancouver, Edmonton, they could be in the Stanley Cup final and potentially winning it. Do you see this as a massive, massive opportunity tonight for Dallas to maybe, you know, change who or decide in some ways who might win the Stanley Cup this season?
It's a great point. And I'll tell you what, if the Dallas Stars can do this, like if the Dallas Stars can go through and get to the Stanley Cup final, the Dallas Stars can win the Stanley Cup this year. Think about what that entails. Like, think about their first two matchups. One, you have the defending Stanley Cup champion, and then in the second round, you have the Stanley Cup champion from the year previous. Like, if they can do this, this could go down as one of the great playoff performances of this generation. Knocking off Stanley Cup champions in back-to-back rounds? That's A, really impressive. B, that's not easy. And that's something that should really get everybody else's attention, whether you're Vancouver, whether you're Edmonton, or you're whomever comes out of the Eastern Conference. I don't know that fact has gotten enough play, to be honest with you. The fact that, you know, here we are, you know, Dallas wins tonight. They're one win away from knocking off Colorado. And that means they've knocked off, you know, the back-to-back Stanley Cup champions here. I think this is a massive story. I'm with you, Justin. And if they can do this tonight and they can make this one a quick series, that makes this Dallas Stars run even that much more impressive.
We've got a really important game for tomorrow night, Oilers and Canucks. Who starts in net for the Edmonton Oilers, Jeff?
Oh, boy. I mean, I want Jack Campbell, but I mean, you know
you want
me,
the chaos.
That's right, oh, man. Give it to me. Hey, listen, man. Arthur Shelov spent the whole season in Abbotsford. He's doing fine. Let's have Edmonton throw their AHL goalie at it. No, I think it'll be Stuart Skinner. I do think it'll be a short leash. Just don't ask me how short that leash is. But I do think that Stuart Skinner starts this one. Although, I'll tell you what, like there were a lot of people in and around the organization that were howling for Ken Holland to do something with the goaltending. This is something the owner has talked about with the team and the general manager going back a couple of years, well, last year specifically. I would hate to see, you know, prime Dreisaitl and prime Connor McDavid have it all go down the drain because they didn't address the goaltending issue. And right now it looks like listen, two out of the three games in this series, Stuart Skinner has been less than impressive. I don't think the Edmonton Oilers can afford a third here. So I think that he starts Skinner, but I think it's going to be short leash time for him.
They might need an Aaron Frankel or a Kristen Campbell, the PWHL.
Holy smoke.
I needed to hear your voice on this. Yes, it's been on back-to-back shutouts for her and then Aaron Frankel with the three overtimes and just being a brick wall for Boston.
How about Aaron Frankel, like back-to-back 50-save performances?
It's crazy.
I do want to mention one thing because, you know, I can't do this without mentioning Ambrose. 61-33. So I called Ambrose today. And so she played in that game on Saturday, triple overtime. They lose, unfortunately, for PWHL Montreal. They lose to Boston 2-1.
On the ropes.
But I know. One more. But they've been in there. The whole Montreal team knows that they've been in every game here. Like, it's like Laura Stacey, one of these shots is going to go in. But anyway, so Erin Ambrose plays 61 minutes and 33 seconds. I called her today. I'm like, and she's an ink girl. Like, she likes tattoos. So I'm like, Erin, you have to get 61-33 tattooed on your body somewhere. She's like, no, but it was a loss. Like, Erin, how many times are you or anybody else in their career going to play 61-33? Here's something that you guys will like. Because, Ailish, you and I were texting on Saturday about Ambrose, and they better have an IV drip in her in between periods here. She's playing so much. So, like, what were you, like, eating or drinking in between periods in the intermission? And she said, yeah, like, you know, like protein balls and energy balls and things like that. And then she paused and she goes, and gummies and Skittles.
You need that sugar. Be depleted.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say a famous Montreal hot dog.
No Chanchot. No Chanchot for Erin Ambrose. But what I know, albeit in a losing cause, I got to mention Ambrose. Like, 61-33. Holy smoke. What a performance by Erin Ambrose.
Yeah, fantastic. These PWHL games have been just as exciting or more of the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs for sure.
And Toronto can close out tonight. They beat Minnesota. Let's go.
You bet. That's next on my best bets. Jeff, we'll let you go. Thanks for coming on. We got a short show today, so we got to let you go, but appreciate it. And we'll chat next week.
All good. And thank you for letting me off the hook by not bringing up Sam Bennett. Man, my timeline. Woo!
Yeah, you know, you got all day tomorrow.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
You guys have a good rest of your show.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it. Jeff Merrick of Jeff Merrick Show and 32 Thoughts, the podcast.
You know what side of that he was on?
We have to stay tuned to Jeff Merrick's show to find out.
We're going to have to.
Yeah.
I you got to be sure if you're an NHL coach nowadays. Mm. You got to be sure because they're trying to uphold their call. People don't learn. Coaches don't learn. NHL coaches must learn.
Okay, Blue Jays are up right after us as well on Sportsnet 1. They're facing the Orioles, who are what the Blue Jays wish they were. And on the mound tonight is Berríos and Burns, which is a really important pitching matchup. You got your ace for the Blue Jays against someone that's, what, second favorite?
Second favorite to win the Cy Young. Kind of a hired gun for the Baltimore Orioles after, you know, that was kind of the issue for them last year. Not having an ace, well, they have one now in Corbin Burns.
One of my best bets is a Ryan Mountcastle home run because he just does that to the Blue Jays all the time. That's plus 680. But I'll go with what Jeff was just mentioning, a really important game in PWHL action tonight. Toronto has opportunity to sweep Minnesota now on the road. They won the first two games by a shutout. It's been incredible by Kristen Campbell. So if you think Toronto's going to do it tonight, that's minus 148. And if you want to get spicy and get them on the puck line, which hit the other day with a nice Hannah Miller empty netter.
Thank you, Hannah Miller.
Thank you, Hannah Miller. It's plus 220 if you want them to win on the puck line, which is totally possible in an elimination game with an empty net. So those are my two best bets. And I want to see PWHL Toronto in the final. So let's see him close it up tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could definitely go with the Orioles and feel pretty good about it. I mean, Berríos is looking for a bounce back. He was rough in Philly last week. The Orioles have lost the last three burn starts, so maybe that plays against it a little bit. But the Blue Jays don't have a bench. Like, what happens if someone goes down?
I said, like, a fan is playing.
All sick. Kevin Kiermaier, Justin Turner, George Springer, all sick. Danny Jansen out with back spasms. I mean, they just have no safety net to fall into. So I think the Orioles are a decent play if you find a way. But I'll just go with the New York Rangers. They've been better than Carolina in this series. They go home. They've been dominant at home. It's near a pick'em price. Like, you're actually getting a pretty good deal on it. Rangers minus 105 will be my choice. And, you know, we mentioned the Conn Smythe a little bit. Shesterkin right now is about plus 600 to win. The Rangers to win the Stanley Cup are about plus 350. If you like the Rangers to win the Stanley Cup, just go with Shesterkin. No one else. The way that they play relies on Shesterkin. Like, he has to be. It's a prerequisite. Shesterkin has to be brilliant for them to win the Stanley Cup. They rely on their goaltender maybe more than any other team. So I just go Shesterkin, plus 600 to win the Conn Smythe if you like the Rangers, because I think he is one of few one-to-ones to win the Stanley Cup. Maybe him, McDavid, maybe Barkov are the only ones.
My physical heart, not a heart trophy, would be if you think that PWHL Montreal can come back and do it, there's a lot of Team Canada girls on that team, and they reverse swept the USA back-to-back rivalry series. So they just have to reverse sweep Boston,
and
which is basically an American team.
They're the better team.
100%. So you can bet them at plus $5.40 for the series price.
I think that's worth
to
the
come
sprinkle.
Back. You know what? I'm just doing it because I want to see it happen. I want a Canada final, so sue me. All right, Hockey Central's up next on Sportsnet. You've got Carolina, New York to lead off that one. You've got Toronto and Baltimore on Sportsnet 1 and Sportsnet 590. The Fan, the Blue Jays, with a depleted bench going against one of the best in the league. We'll see what happens. All right, we'll be back tomorrow on the Fan pregame. Short one.